From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you. Thanks especially to the people who ululate. I like that. Thank you. Got a great show for you today. Andrea Mitchell of NBC will be joining us later. But first, got to take care of this. Basically, an apology is in order. As many of you heard earlier this week, Carl Castle was waiting to go live with his newscast. And he made some comments, some very unfortunate comments, without realizing that his mic was live. And just, you know, full disclosure laid out there, here's the tape.
Yeah, it's really getting out of control. Corey Flintoff just leaves those pistachio shells all over the room. It's gross. Yeah, I want to cut his nuts off. Oh!
No more nuts for Corey. So Carl, you feel bad about that, right? You didn't want to hurt anybody. Didn't want him to have any nuts anymore. Let's get going with this week's show. Call us up, answer some questions about the week's news. The number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, my name is Sundip. I'm calling from Austin, Texas.
Hey, Sundip, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine. How are things in Austin?
It's really hot.
Yeah, well, I understand Austin is like the most hip-hop happening town with music happening everywhere, and it's just the coolest place, and no one would ever leave, right?
Pretty much, except during the summertime.
And during the summertime, it's like what?
Hell with steel guitars, basically.
Well, welcome to our show, Sandip. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe magazine and Esquire, among many others, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Sandip.
Hi, Charlie.
And to next say hello to one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column is Roxanne Roberts.
Hello.
Also say hello to a humorist and author and the man to blame for everything you might find at Baudet.com, Mr. Tom Baudet.
Hello, Sundip.
Sundip, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl this time. You're going to start us off with that. Carl Castle will read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice, on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Yes.
All right. Now, for your first quote, we're going to take you to this week's G8 summit in Japan. Here's a world leader showing off his diplomatic skills as he introduces Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper to another world leader.
Yo, Harper! The president of Nigeria.
And here he is calling out a greeting to his good friend, Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, who we should note is from Italy, where they speak Italian.
Amigo! Amigo!
So who was this great, great leader who managed to single-handedly transform a global summit into just another kegger at Deke House?
That would be President George W. Bush.
Yes, indeed. At the last G8 summit of his presidency, Mr. Bush showed why the other leaders of the industrial world will miss him. He shows up. It's not a boring summit anymore. Instead, it's Ernest goes to the G8. Hey, Vern. Pooty Poop still around?
If he didn't control 40,000 nuclear weapons, they'd probably just beat the crap out of him. Lock him in a closet.
Angela, hold his arms. The big achievement of the summit was to get Mr. Bush to finally sign on to a commitment to bring down greenhouse gas emissions by about 40 years from now. But he may not have been sincere. This is true. As he left the summit, he turned and said, quote, goodbye from the world's biggest polluter, unquote. He said that. And then he rode off in his coal-fired limousine.
You know, I've gotten really tired and gotten real bad writer's cramp writing those notes of apologies to the rest of the world.
Well, isn't it kind of charming?
No!
No, I'm gonna stand here and I'm gonna say, look, I mean, these things tend to be very formal, they're very stiff. He's not. He's very loose. He's very informal. He treats them as friends. Maybe that's a good thing in international diplomacy, don't you think?
So you don't have a problem being represented by, like, Bluto from Animal House? Don't you just wish he crushed a beer can on his head just for fun?
Wouldn't it be cool if he did, though? That's my whole point.
The problem is he'd crush it on Merkel's head.
Yes. Yeah. He does like picking on her.
At least Boris Yeltsin was around to give Bill Clinton cover on these things.
Yes, I know. All right, Sandeep, here is your next quote.
So you see, history can be made. All it took was some hard work and bipartisanship.
That was a blogger for the Denver Post. He was commenting on a historical milestone this week. When what institution earned the lowest approval ratings in its history?
The legislative branch?
The legislative branch known as?
Congress?
Yes, Congress. Never in the history of polling has Congress reached the single digits in their approval rating, not until now. The Rasmussen polling firm says that only 9% of the population approves of the job that Congress is doing. That's down 11 points from June. This is a problem, so we decided to see what we could do. We've called in an expert. Joining us to discuss how Congress can improve its popularity is Susan Schultz, editor-in-chief of Cosmo Girl magazine.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thanks for having me.
So I know this is something that concerns you and your readers, the question of popularity.
Absolutely.
How do you think Congress, as individuals or as an institution, can increase its popularity amongst its peers?
Well, of course, the first thing we always tell girls, and we get thousands of letters about this every year, you know, how can I be more popular? And we tell girls very simple things. Smile and make eye contact. You know, I mean, a lot of times people are very wrapped up in themselves, and they forget that if they're kind of being more open and friendly to others, that that helps you be more popular.
Really? Susan, is it really a problem if people don't like you? Do you ever find yourself counseling your readers not to worry about it?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, we often do say, you know what, if there's only a few people who don't like you, who really cares? Because not everybody is always going to like you.
Right.
But, you know, if a lot of people don't like you, you really have to take a look at yourself and wonder, what the heck am I doing wrong? You really have to, you know, do some self-reflection.
Okay.
Because there's a problem.
Let me ask you a tough question. Are there some people for whom it's just hopeless? They're just never going to be popular? They're never going to be well-liked?
Well, you know, there's people out there that we can all think of that I won't name any names that really never seem to get it right. But, you know, everybody loves the a comeback story. And one of the things we'll say is that, you know, you can never underestimate the power of knowing what happened on last night's Gossip Girl.
Uh-huh.
So if you really want to change your image and be a little more popular, Jonas Brothers lyrics are good, Gossip Girl, The Hills. If you know what's going on, people think you're cool.
Nancy Pelosi, are you listening?
Yeah. We're looking for Harry Reid to do some Lil Wayne raps, I think would be excellent.
Well, you know, Robert Byrd's never been the same since Gilmore Girls went off the air.
That's true. Well, hopefully they're listening, Susan. They'll take some of your advice. Susan Schultz is the editor-in-chief at Cosmo Girl magazine. Susan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, Sandeep, here is your last quote.
Will there be any cone bras in the stands? Sean Penn masks? The theme from Evita being sung by a heavenly choir of visiting Red Sox fans?
That was the sports blog Deadspin, which seems to be really enjoying the big celebrity divorce news this week. It seems like a married sports star has taken up with, of course, Madonna, who?
A-Rod.
A-Rod, indeed. Alex Rodriguez. If Cynthia Rodriguez, the wife of the highest-paid baseball player in the world, had simply sued for divorce, that would have been enough for us. Dayenu. And if the Boston Herald had just found a stripper willing to tell all on their front page about her trysts with A-Rod, we would have been plenty happy. But when the other woman in the divorce turns out to be none other than Madonna, well, then we realize there must be a God, and he regularly reads Us Weekly. Carl, how did Sandeep do in our quiz?
Very well, Peter. He had three correct answers, so he wins our prize.
Well done, Sandeep.
Thank you very much.
Charlie, Olympic sprinter Tyson Gay was in the news recently when he broke the world record in the 100 meters at the Olympic trials. However, his fans were surprised to see him referred to on a Christian news site as what?
The Christian website in question set up their website so that the word gay would be replaced by the word homosexual wherever it appeared. So the headline was Tyson homosexual injured at trial.
Exactly. The American Family Association, which runs the One News Now website, and they're very sensitive about the word gay, which they think is a euphemism for something they disapprove of. So they program their computers to routinely change the word, which means sports fans were able to enjoy this description of the Olympic track and field trials as written by the AP, but subtly altered by the website. Quote, Tyson homosexual was a blur in blue, sprinting 100 meters faster than anyone ever has. Homosexual qualified for his first Summer Games team and served notice he's certainly someone to watch in Beijing. It means a lot to me, the 25-year-old homosexual said. I'm glad my body could do it because now I know I have it in me, unquote. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Bluff the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Honor from Portland, Oregon.
Hey, Honor, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
I like that name, Honor.
Thank you.
Do you have sisters named Chastity and Charity and Mercy?
No, thank heavens I don't.
Really? I've always liked that sort of virtue naming. Has that been hard to live up to in your life?
I've stopped trying.
Really?
Oh, good for you.
Well, welcome to the show, Honor. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Honor's topic?
Just when you thought airline travel couldn't get any worse.
The airlines are charging for checked bags, for pillows. This week we read about a possible new nightmare in air travel that could make those annoyances seem like the height of luxury. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories with even more potential bad news for frequent flyers. Choose the real story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to play?
Yes, I am.
First up, let's hear from Tom Baudet.
When you gotta go, go Frontier Air. The well-worn slogan of the Denver-based air carrier might have to be flushed as the airline announced this week that it will be eliminating lavatories on all flights less than 2 hours long. While not one of the larger airlines, Frontier has led the industry in cost-cutting measures. The first to eliminate in-flight meals, snacks, refreshment, and movies, they have also been charging for luggage for 2 years and based their seat size on the body outlines of a 12-year-old gymnast. The large carriers have all adopted Frontier's previous efficiencies, so we can soon look forward to bulging bladders on regional flights across the land. Frontier COO Selga Charis explained that maintaining lavatories on their planes costs the company $4 million a year, and, she adds, our traditionally small seat sizing might actually help passengers to squeeze their knees tightly together if they must.
Losing the restrooms and the short hops and Frontier, your next story of another hassle with air travel comes from Roxanne Roberts.
If the Department of Homeland Security has its way, soon you'll be wearing a magical electronic bracelet during flight, which serves as a boarding pass, personal ID, luggage monitor, and, but only in an emergency, an electronic shock device more powerful than a taser. Lampard Less Lethal Inc., which created the Electromuscular Disruption Safety Bracelet, has caught the eye of DHS's Paul Runwald, who wrote the feds are psyched to get it on passenger planes ASAP. Now, I know what you're thinking. What if I get accidentally zapped? The Canadian company says the bracelets will only be activated in a hijacking when a crew member will point a laser at the offenders and only the bad guys. It's as simple as shooting fish in a barrel, screaming, moving fish at 35,000 feet. There, don't you feel better about that?
Bracelets, which are harmless unless they're used to incapacitate you on your flight. Your last story of something that will make going to the airport even less exciting comes from Charlie Pierce.
People used to laugh when it was suggested that America's airlines would charge for air if they could. They're not laughing anymore. Great Lakes Airlines, a commuter chain serving northern Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, and upper Michigan, has installed coin-operated vent fans in the main cabins of the airplanes. Passengers now deposit 25 cents into a slot on the armrest for a half hour of air blown onto them by the small tubular fans above their heads. In addition, the airline will charge passengers a $10 rental fee for the oxygen masks above the seat. The money will be refunded upon landing if the masks have not been necessary. We think we can clear somewhere near $500,000 a year, said Great Lakes President Duncan Mason. Air is important to everyone who flies, I think.
Let's review your choices. You might well find one of these things on a flight that you take in the near future. It could be, if you're on Frontier Air, no bathroom if the flight's short enough. It could be a bracelet around your wrist, which is perfectly harmless unless they decide that you need to be immobilized with an electric shock. Or it could be a little coin slot where you put in a quarter to get air blown on you if you like that kind of luxury. Which of these things is the real story of an innovation in air travel?
Well, they all sound really likely with the recent history of air travel, but I'm going to go with the Frontier Airlines.
Really? You think Frontier Airlines is going to be eliminating the bathroom and the short flights?
Yes.
They'll save all that weight and all that trouble, all that expense. That's your choice?
Yes, it is.
Okay. That's Tom's story. Well, to bring you the real story, we spoke with an expert, namely Patrick Smith, who's an airline pilot and the author of Salon.com's Ask a Pilot column. Here he is.
I think crew members would be interested in this bracelet for times when passengers are kicking the seats in front of them or slamming their tray tables up or starting to chatter away on their cell phones while the plane is screaming down the runway.
I'm sorry, but as you have figured out, Roxanne had the real answer, the one about this plan to issue us all with immobilization bracelets. I'm so sorry, but you did earn a point for Tom, for his frighteningly realistic story. I have to say, you know, Tom laid that out for me before the show, and I said, well, that's not going to get picked. Nobody would ever believe that the airlines would eliminate the toilets and the flights, but clearly I haven't flown enough recently.
Scary, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you.
You believe that. Well, I'm sorry you didn't win, but you didn't earn a point for Tom, and it was great to have you on the show.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Come fly with me. Let's fly. Let's fly away. If you can use...
And now the game where we invite experts onto the show to answer questions about things they know nothing about. It's perverse, but we like it. It's called Not My Job. Speaking of experts, the presidential campaign is in full swing, so we thought we'd touch base with somebody who could explain it all for us. Andrea Mitchell of NBC News has covered the White House, has covered presidential campaigns, has been all over the world talking, as she likes to say, to dictators, tyrants, and presidents. She joins us now. Andrea Mitchell, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Well, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So you've covered politics for many, many years. Is this campaign different as it might seem, or is it just another trip down the rabbit hole?
Oh, no, this is different. This is the longest primary campaign, and it's historic. We had a woman who could have been nominated. We've had the first African-American. And the oldest candidate, so it's historic on every count.
Right. One of the things we've noticed has become conventional wisdom is that the campaigns and the candidates look to you guys, the press, as potentially part of their constituency. I think McCain called the press once his base. So do they, in fact, try to suck up to you guys?
Not any longer. They think they can go right over our heads, use the internet, get through the blogs,
really?
Get to the public.
So they don't do that anymore? Even I thought McCain was like throwing you barbecues and stuff.
He did, I believe, have a barbecue for the traveling press corps once, you know, in the past year. But I think that's pretty much gone by the board.
Right. But so you don't sense that they're really trying to win you over into their camp?
Not at all. I think they're just trying to ignore us and pretend we don't exist.
Wow. How will you extract your vengeance?
Well, it's actually not our job.
Really?
No. It's to try to get to the bottom of whatever it is that's going on. Not that we ever can really accomplish that, but it's a challenge every day.
Now your current job, you're not following either campaign right now.
No, I was in all the primary states. I was following Hillary Clinton for months and months, and that's over.
Really?
Yeah, if you hadn't noticed.
Does Senator Clinton know that?
Yeah. Not clear that her husband does, but I think she does. She definitely knows it's over. So I've been covering the Democrats, and now I'm doing some of the Democrats, some of the Republicans. I'm anchoring a show every day at 1 o'clock on cable on MSNBC.
Wow.
And sort of getting a taste of everything. It's great.
If you had to choose, which campaign would you rather travel around with?
I think all of them. I think they're all different, exciting, the issues, you know.
McCain seems more unpredictable. You never quite know what he's going to say.
Well, saying that he was going to pack off his closest economic advisor to Belarus, an outlaw state.
Yes. This was, of course, after it was Phil Gramm, former senator of Texas, said that the only problem we have in America is that people are depressed.
What was he it? Said it was a mental recession.
A mental recession.
A mental recession, that we are a nation of whiners.
Right. And McCain was asked for his reaction, and he promised to make him ambassador to Belarus.
A country that is such an outlaw state, we don't have an ambassador there.
Exactly. And it's still vaguely radioactive, if I'm not mistaken.
More than vaguely. No, I was there in 1994 with Bill Clinton. We had to wear dosimeters to make sure we weren't taking too much radiation from Chernobyl.
You got to say, it's colorful. I got to ask you about your husband, of course. He's Alan Greenspan, the famous former chairman of the Federal Reserve. Now, we all know him through his public demeanor, which is that he speaking in testimony in those incredibly complex, undecipherable sentences. So when he first began to woo you, how did you know?
I didn't.
You didn't know?
I didn't get it for a while.
Really? So I imagine you're having dinner with him, and he's saying, well, I would say that in the balance of equities between romantic partners...
Well, actually...
No? What? What happened?
We talked about baseball, and we talked about music.
Baseball and music. Isn't it true he used to be a musician himself?
He was a jazz musician. He was in a big band, dance band, traveled around the country.
Really?
Really. Before he became an economist, he went back to school to become an economist after going to Juilliard and playing music.
Wow. And what did he play?
He played the saxophone, the clarinet, some flute.
Gosh.
Peter, you're also, well, you're skipping over the great part, which is that he happens to be a fabulous kisser.
Which Roxanne, is,
Roxanne,
how do you
know?
By all accounts, by everyone at your wedding who saw him double dip you.
Really? So he's a romantic, is that what we... Is
he's
that...
a very romantic soul.
Well, he, of course, retired from a position at the Federal Reserve some years ago. What's it like having him home all the time?
Well, he's not home. He started a business. He wrote a book. He's traveling. He's having a good time.
Does he ever shout irresponsible things about the economy just because he can't?
At the top of his voice.
Yeah. The dollar is tanking. We're doomed.
It must be nice for him to be able to scratch his nose in public without affecting the world market. So.
I think he should turn up on one of those... late-night cable commercials about doubling your money. I think that would be a great career.
What a great idea.
One of those investment, you know, he could stand out in front of a picture of somebody's house in Miami and go, you can have this house! He could do Jim Cramer's thing when Jim Cramer's not on the show. He could run around the set and have sound effects and stuff.
What a great idea, a reality television show with Jim Cramer and Alan Greenspan.
No. You and Alan get the reality show.
That would be so exciting, actually. A reality show based on your marriage, just like the Osbournes.
We have so much in common with the Osbournes.
No, really, but...
He's a musician.
It's true. It would be like the reality show for PBS. Tonight, after the news hour, it's the Mitchell Greenspans. Tonight, Andrea and Alan... discuss the World Trade Organization. Tune in! Well, Andrea Mitchell, we're so delighted to have you with us. We've invited you here to play a game we're calling...
Predator, both a wicked, cool action movie and a cradle of greatness.
The 1987 science fiction movie Predator has become a cult hit over the years, not least because two of its stars, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jesse Ventura, have since been elected to statewide office. Is it time for number three? Sonny Landham, who played the spiritual but deadly Indian commando Billy in the movie, recently announced his intentions to run as a libertarian third-party candidate against Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. Answer two of three questions about Mr. Landham's career correctly. You will win our prize, Carl's voice on the home answering machine for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Andrea Mitchell playing for?
Andrea is playing for Maria Fitzsimmons of New York City.
All right, you ready to play?
Absolutely.
All right, I can tell. You sound confident and ready. Here we go. Before Sonny Landham got his big break in Hollywood films, in which he usually played very large, violent people of Indian descent, He made his living as an actor in 1970s erotic entertainment. He played the title role, in fact, in a movie that seems to have been an attempt to create a dirty movie franchise. What was the name of this hopefully legendary character? Was it A, Hammer McThump, B, Big Abner, or C, Randy Chaps?
Oh, it must have been Randy Chaps.
You're going to say Randy Chaps? It must have been. No, in fact, it was Big Abner. The movie was a parody of the Little Abner comic strip, of course. Mr. Landham also starred in that period in the movies The Passions of Carol, The Defiance of Good, and, of course, the classic The Love Bus. That's okay. You have two more questions. After being cast in the action movie 48 Hours in the early 80s, he became a successful actor in mainstream movies and TV shows in the 1980s, including which of these? A, a direct-to-video action film called Kill, Be Killed, or Just Watch the Killing. B, an episode of Miami Vice called Viking Bikers from Hell. Or C, an Italian action movie called, and we translate the title, He Cuts You Into Pieces Like You Were a Dried Sausage.
Oh, this is a tough one.
Yes, it is.
Can I hear it in the original Italian?
Sadly, I don't have it handy. I think Chuck Masada
showed up. I guess it's the Miami Vice.
You're going to go Miami Vice, Viking Bikers from Hell? You're right. Very good. His character's name is Toad. We assume he was one of the aforementioned Viking bikers from hell. This is so exciting. You've gotten one right with one to go. Get this last one correct. You will win our prize. Of course, this question is about his masterpiece. While on the set of the movie Predator in Mexico, the insurance company for the film insisted that Mr. Landham be provided with a round-the-clock bodyguard. Why? A, he had made some rather impolite comments about Mexicans to the Mexican press, and folks were worried about the backlash. B, he was incredibly worried about alien abduction, and the insurers were afraid he would freak out and flee the movie without protection. Or C, the bodyguard wasn't there to protect him, he was there to protect other people from him.
I think it was A. I think he sounds like the type who would have insulted his Mexican host.
No, he didn't do that. It was actually C. He had acquired a reputation in his career for violent behavior around film sets, and the insurance company wouldn't agree to his casting if he didn't have a babysitter to forestall incidents.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Is it Mrs. Fitzsimmons?
Hang on a second. Let's find out. Carl, how did Andrea Mitchell do in our quiz?
Well, she needed at least two correct answers to win for Maria Fitzsimmons, but Andrea had just one.
Wow.
I'm so sorry.
But here's the advantage. Here's the advantage. If he is, in fact, elected to the Senate, as he may well be, given this crazy country of ours, then you can go up to him and you can say, Mr. Landham, I admired your work in Big Abner in the 70s.
Because you'll know that. If he's as dangerous as you say, I don't think I'm going to go anywhere near him.
Andrea Mitchell is the chief foreign affairs correspondent for NBC News. She is currently covering the 2008 presidential campaign. You can see her pretty much every afternoon on MSNBC at 1 p.m. Eastern. Andrea Mitchell, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey.
Bye-bye. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Tom, a new study shows that something a married couple might attempt in order to increase their happiness actually has the opposite effect. It increases stress, depression, and anxiety. What risky behavior should couples stay away from if they want to stay happy?
That's got to be having children.
Exactly right. That's right, moms and dads. Your little bundle of joy is really a package of misery. Robin Simon, a sociologist at Florida State University who has studied the subject, she told NPR that parents are generally more unhappy than childless couples of similar age and circumstance. Turns out our offspring are, just like other people, real pains sometimes. Except unlike other people, you can't just see it's them on the caller ID and let the voicemail pick up. You have to take care of them. And despite what I routinely tell my own children, you cannot take them back to the hospital for a refund. I tried. The response to this news from the legions of new parents currently trying to rock their colicky newborn back to sleep was to throw the radio into the diaper genie.
Oh, just the other night I was trying to get my 5-year-old to stop screaming his head off about bedtime, and I feel really guilty about this, so I'm going to just confess it publicly, that I told him that when the neighbors call the police and they come to investigate, that I just might let them take him if he didn't stop. I actually said that. I'm not making that up to be funny. It's pitiful.
Did it work?
It did. That's the worst thing about it.
That's awful.
I said it with an ironic tone in my voice, but I'm not sure that he caught that.
Yeah, 5-year-olds.
They're very literal at that age.
Roxanne, according to an AP Yahoo News poll, people who have something in their homes are much more likely to vote for McCain than Obama for president. What is this distinguishing thing in their home?
Metamucil.
You could have it. Well, McCain does have 518 years of experience in dog years.
Pets.
Right, pets. Oh. According to this poll, pet owners are more likely to vote for McCain. Political analysts aren't sure whether this is because...
Who takes these polls? Who would think of that?
I don't know. The AP did in this case.
Yeah, pet owners leaning McCain.
But, may I...
You may.
May I... The Obama campaign and the Obama family have promised the little girls that they're going to get a dog sometime next spring, win or lose. The McCains, on the other hand, have 24 pets.
Yes, that's what people say, that the reason pet owners prefer McCain to Obama is because McCain has lots of pets. Obama's family has none. As you also said, Obama has promised to get his kids a dog, just like he had when he was a kid. McCain, in response, said that he will also get his children something similar to his childhood pet. One scientist figure out how to clone a woolly mammoth. Oh. Tom, a hotel receptionist in England named Abby Hawkins found a bat hiding inside her bra last week. And we could just stop right there.
Is that true or false?
True, yeah.
So she found it while she was wearing the bra. But Ms. Hawkins didn't know the bat was inside her bra for 5 hours because she assumed the bat was just what?
She just thought it was her husband.
Well, where did I put him? Oh, there he is.
No, I mean...
I actually know this.
You know this?
I do. I know
well,
this.
Well, can I pass?
You can pass if you want to.
She thought it was her cell phone.
She thought it was her vibrating cell phone.
That's
hours.
So funny. I threw mine in a pond last week. I thought it was a damn bat.
All I can say is that this woman has more fun with her cell phone than that.
I could answer it, but I'm enjoying it so much, she said to herself. Here's a hint for you all. If your cell phone is leaving guano droppings in your bra, it's probably not a cell phone. Ms. Hawkins found the bat inside her bra. After peering inside her shirt, she assumed it was merely vibrating from a phone in her front pocket. I kept thinking, how could I have not known it was there, Ms. Hawkins said. I will certainly be checking my bra every morning from now on. In another incident, oddly, just down the road from Ms. Hawkins, another woman named Anna Buchan also found a bat hiding out in the pants she was wearing. The bats apologized for the mix-up after admitting that they often confuse, you know, which one's a stalactite and which one's a boob.
Well, this is interesting. You know, there's a big thing in Vermont and New England that the bats are disappearing. I think we know where they're going.
And at least we finally know what Victoria's Secret really was.
I'm going to see reruns of Batman, and he's going to say, Robin, the bat phone.
And there we go.
And I'm going to start laughing, and no one else will know why.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can send an email to waitwait@npr.org. You can also go to our website at waitwait.npr.org, where you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Auditorium in Chicago. Or you can visit the NPR shop to pick up your Wait Wait tchotchkes. Hi, you're on Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Christine Natras from New Haven, Connecticut.
Christine?
Yep.
Nice to talk to you. How are you?
Pretty good. How about you guys?
Fine. What do you do there in New Haven?
I am a graduate student in physics.
At Yale, may I
yep.
ask? Wow. That's prestigious. Christine, welcome to the show. Carl Castle will now read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two of the limericks, you will be a winner. Ready to go?
Yep.
All right. Here is your first limerick.
This 8-year-old will be indicted because birthday fund was not requited. Around the school's yard, he handed out cards, but two children were not
invited.
Exactly. So you think just because it's your birthday party, you can invite anyone you want? Not so fast there, little Timmy. Or since we're talking about Sweden, little Olaf. The Swedish Parliament has been asked to intervene in the case of birthday party injustice. An 8-year-old Swedish boy handed out birthday invitations at school to everyone except two of his classmates, one who hadn't invited the boy to his own party earlier in the year, and one who was just a jerk. The school immediately confiscated the invitations and has complained to Swedish Parliament that the birthday boy had discriminated against the losers, rather the unfortunate non-invitees. The child's father has lodged a counter-complaint with Parliament. After they solve this, we hope the Swedish Parliament will issue guidelines on who gets picked first for kickball. Very good. Here is your next limerick.
High cholesterol is a heartbreaker. We're attacking the source, cookware makers. Since we can't be faulted for eating food salted, they must put fewer holes in there.
Oh, bakeware?
No, that's in the... I'm going to say here... This isn't high-energy physics, you know. This is, you may be too smart. I think that happens sometimes with these. Too smart. So you need to think dumb. Think like us. Just rhymes with breaker, maker.
The salt is the key word.
Shaker. Yeah.
Shaker, yes, very good. British people are killing themselves with their eating habits almost as fast as we are here. So the Gateshead Council in Britain decided to do something about it. They commissioned new salt shakers with 5 little holes in the top rather than the traditional 17, and they gave them to the local fish and chip shops in town. They felt that the act of shaking the shaker will satisfy people, but they won't notice the missing salt in their food. One fishmonger said, quote, "I thought it was a joke. It doesn't matter how many holes it has. People are going to put on as much salt as they want." Sure enough, sodium-related diseases have gone down somewhat, but that number has been offset by the huge increase in dislocated shoulders, strained wrists, and chipped teeth as people just try to pry the damn thing open and pour out the salt. Here, Christine, is your last limerick.
Who knew bean curds turned into my foe, too? It has messed up my quick mental flow, true. In old age, I'm forgetting. Now soy I'm regretting, 'cause dementia's abetted by...
tofu.
Right!
Wow, she is smart.
You're good. If you thought people who enjoy tofu were crazy, you just might be right. According to a new study published in the journal Dementias and Geriatric Cognitive Disorders, it seems that people who eat tofu at least once a day have a higher chance of developing dementia later in life. Researchers aren't sure why. They believe that high estrogen production in soy eaters could be the cause. Researchers were quick to clarify, though, that tofu posed absolutely no risk of causing dementia when used for its original purpose, spackling the bathroom. Carl, how did Christine do on our quiz?
Well, Christine was perfect, Peter. 3 correct answers. Christine, I'll be doing the message on your home answering.
Well done. Hey, good luck with the high-energy physics, and don't blow up the Earth. Christine, thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Tom Beaudet and Roxanne Roberts each has 3 points. Charlie Pierce has 2.
Okay. Charlie, you're in third place, so you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. Former hostage Ingrid Betancourt received a standing ovation from the French Senate nearly a week after she was rescued from the jungles of blank.
Colombia.
Right. Internal documents released this week show that the company that provided blanks to FEMA in the aftermath of Katrina knew they were a health risk.
Trailers.
Right. On Tuesday, it was revealed that Dick Cheney's office altered an EPA official's testimony on the health effects of blank.
Global warming.
Right. Britain's High Court has ruled that blanks cannot be taxed because they are not a potato-based snack.
Potato chips.
No, Pringles potato chips.
Oh.
They're not. On his third attempt, an Oregon man successfully flew from Oregon to Idaho on his blank.
Lawn chair.
Yes, with balloons. The U.S. Mint announced that in 2009 it will release the first coin that is printed in blank.
Braille.
Right. A first-class airplane passenger in Guyana was so angry that people in economy were allowed to exit before him, he blanked.
Jumped out the window.
Almost.
Jumped out the door.
No, he left via the emergency slide.
Well, isn't that jumping out the window?
No, it's jumping out the door. You open the door, slide.
I think it's a window, Peter. I don't think it's a door. I think you might be wrong.
Well. It's a door. Carl, do we have a judgment?
It's the emergency slide, Peter. We're looking for that answer.
Yeah, sorry. talk to Mr. Castle, you got a problem. His name was Christopher Satyanand, and he knew that there was more than one way out of that plane.
Yeah, the window.
And he wasn't about to wait for the economy passengers to leave before him. He was first class, so he activated the emergency slide on the door.
So
and
you
slid
said.
His way to freedom. Local police quickly arrested him, and they say, shockingly, that alcohol was involved. Carl, how did Charlie do in our quiz?
Charlie had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 12 points, and Charlie has the lead.
Well done. We have flipped a coin, and Roxanne has elected to go next. So, Roxanne, fill in the blank. Leaders in Iraq pushed for a firm timetable for when U.S. troops would blank.
Withdraw.
Right. The Senate adjusted its voting schedule to allow lawmakers to attend at the funeral of blank.
Jesse Helms.
Right. The U.S. ambassador called the shootout outside the U.S. consulate in blank a, quote, obvious act of terrorism.
Turkey.
Right. Barack Obama said this week that he regretted allowing Access Hollywood to interview blank.
His daughters.
Right. Saying his customers keep making sexual advances towards him, a blank in Cincinnati is suing his employer.
Stripper.
Yes. New DNA tests revealed that her family had nothing to do with the 1996 murder of blank.
JonBenet Ramsey.
Right. NASA announced that May 31st, 2010 will be the last launch of a blank.
Shuttle.
Right. A German woman called police after she could not stop her visiting friend from blanking.
Talking.
Yes.
Wow.
That was impressive.
A sweep.
The woman inspired Germany. Invited a friend over for tea, and according to police, listened to that friend talk for 30 hours straight. It was too much. She decided to call an ambulance. The arriving paramedics weren't able to load the rambling woman into the ambulance, so the hostess finally called the police, who escorted the still chatting visitor home. No charges were filed.
Can I just concede at this point?
You might well want to.
All the answers I knew have been given.
Carl, how did Roxanne do in our quiz?
Perfect, Peter. She had 8 correct answers for 16 more points.
Wow.
She now has 19 points in a commanding lead.
She came to play. All right. So how many, then, does Tom need to actually win?
He needs at least 8 to tie, so we'll stop there.
All right. Here we go. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. Saying, quote, our finger is always on the trigger. Blank test-fired missiles this week.
Iran.
Right. Although he is undergoing treatment for a brain tumor, blank returned to the Senate to vote on the Medicare bill.
Senator Kennedy.
Right. On Wednesday, Congress approved a bill overhauling the rules on the secret government blank program.
The wiretap program.
Right. Blanks are the latest vegetable to be linked to outbreaks of salmonella.
Jalapeno pepper.
Right. To find out if they have a dominant tentacle, researchers in Europe are giving octopuses their very own blanks.
Eyeglasses.
Rubik's cubes. Prison inmates and
so I've already lost. Let's just stop.
Prison inmates and firefighters joined forces to battle wildfires raging across blank.
California.
Right. The divorce trial between former supermodel blank and her fourth husband ended in a settlement on Thursday.
Christy Brinkley.
Right. Police were called to a supermarket in West Sussex, England, to settle a dispute between two blanks.
Two live lobsters.
Nope. Two elderly women ramming into each other with their mobility scooters.
Oh, boy. Have you ever got caught in the middle of one of those?
Oh, awful. The woman had reportedly been friends at one time, but they'd fallen out over money. They hadn't seen each other again until that fateful day in the Iceland supermarket. Employees were alerted to the feud when they heard screaming and the deafening clash of scooter against scooter. Said one frightened shelf stacker, they were ramming each other like dodgems. Carl, did Tom do well enough to even tie?
He needed at least 8 answers to tie. Tom had 6 correct answers. So with 19 points, Roxanne Roberts is this week's champion.
Hold on. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists who will be the next person to fall prey to Madonna's charms and why. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the Annenberg Foundation, advancing public well-being through improved communication on the web at annenbergfoundation.org. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, committed to helping Americans lead healthier lives and get the care they need, on the web at rwjf.org, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. BJ Liederman composed our theme. Our program is directed by Melody Kramer and produced by Mike Danforth and Emily Ecton. Now, panel, who will be Madonna's next victim? Charlie Pierce.
Tiger Woods, because he's been on a cereal box, and we are living in a cereal world, and she is just a cereal girl.
Oh! Roxanne Roberts.
Former New York Governor Eliot Spitzer, because, well, she's a step up.
Tom Baudet.
Televangelist Pat Robertson, because he doesn't realize that like a virgin thing was ironic.
And if any of those people fall for Madonna panels, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you so much, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Charlie Pierce, Roxanne Roberts, and Tom Baudet. Thanks to all of you for listening. You're the best. I'm Peter Sagal. I'm stepping away for a week. Adam Felber will be in the host chair. We'll see you then. This is NPR, National Public Radio.